I speak to the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Last Sunday, when the scorching and oppressive heat wave had come upon us, we found ourselves melting before the sun out there and before the Son of God in here, pondering a series of questions as we left this place. Will we take upon ourselves afresh and anew the burden of discipleship, the yoke of Jesus Christ, which tells us that our freedom is not our own, but is in service of another? Do we dare to stand before God, the goodness of God, the God of love, and allow ourselves to be melted down, allow ourselves to be reconstituted and remade into not just the human being who walked in here, but someone truly superhuman who rises above the worst of our impulses in order to find the better angels of our nature? That was the challenge from last week. It's a challenge again for today. How does this happen, though? How do we change states, as it were? How do we move from glory to glory? How do we enter a place like this as humans and leave as superhumans? How do we do this? How do we change our states? How do we state shift? The truth is, our state changed at baptism, and we simply must first embrace what we already are. To quote our brother St. Paul, "You are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you." So look, if you are here and you want to change states, if you want to move from one state of matter to another, one state of glory to another, you can. We can make that happen. I've got a baptismal font right here, and we've got some water in the back. If you want to move from glory to glory through baptism, today is your day. We can make that happen. But if you have already received those waters, I've got news for you. You already are the superhuman being talked about. Because of my baptism, I am the superhuman being talked about. And I mean that. I mean truly super. We once had a spirit of the flesh, but now we are full of the very Spirit of God that brought Jesus Christ back from the dead. Friends, we are not normal. We're not basic. We are not just merely human. We are that and so much more, because we have passed over from human to superhuman. "I teach you the superhuman," said our brother Nietzsche. "The human being is something that shall be overcome. What have you done to overcome it?" Nietzsche had a lot of that right, but he had something wrong. He believed that we had to overcome it ourselves to overcome our mere humanity. But in baptism, the Spirit did all the heavy lifting and reconstituted us into something truly wondrous. You are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Did you hear that? The Spirit of God dwells in you. This verse should make us quake with a terrified excitement. The very Spirit of God dwelling in you, the very Spirit of God having made God's home within your very being. We once were in the flesh. That state of mind Paul talks about, that's all about satisfying desire. The flesh is all about satisfying what we want and what we alone want. The flesh looks out for itself and itself alone. It never looks to the left and the right for its neighbor's well-being. But we have moved beyond that. We have moved beyond selfishness like that. We have passed over that kind of humanity into something else. Through baptism, we have moved from that state into something new. We are in the Spirit, and the Spirit of God dwells within us. It's a strange yet beautiful mutuality now occurring between God and us as we share life and receive life, power, glory, and the wisdom to take seriously the idea that something has happened to us and that we are different. We are different because we have encountered Jesus Christ. This is possible because a change happened. And that change was the giving of a new spirit inside, a new essence to being human, a new meaning and a new understanding of what it means to be alive. Call it spiritual, call it psychological, call it ritual. A difference was made, a change occurred. We now see ourselves and we know ourselves differently. Getting lost in the how and the why is not the right way to explore this beautiful mystery. It's getting lost in the what of it all. What has happened to us? And what have we become? What has happened is that at baptism we were claimed and remade. What has happened is that the Spirit of the living God, who called forth creation with a word and raised Jesus Christ from the dead, has literally made home within you, so that there is nowhere you can go where you are without the loving Spirit of God. The Spirit of Him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, said Paul. He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit that dwells in you. You see, friends, we move not just from flesh to spirit, generally speaking, but it is the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and that Spirit has infused itself with every part of who we are. Imagine, if you will, on a cellular level, deep down to the smallest, most infinitesimal part of you, imagine on a cellular level, the Spirit of God surrounding every one of them, every fiber of your being, and infusing it with new life and vitality. Imagine that, dear friends, and now we're getting close to what it means to be changed, to become this superhuman. We have literally been given a new essence. The mutation, the change, moving from one state to another, the shifting, being melted down and being remade, however you want to imagine it, with all the metaphors I have used to get us to this moment. This change turned us into glorified, sanctified superhumans in service of the living God. We have the resurrection spirit. Spiritually, it's power, it's real power to bring life into death, to make alive situations and circumstances that are overcome by the pall and shadow of death. Psychologically, it's the power of will, strength, hope, and the resistance to the world order of negation and violence. The Spirit, it gets into our hearts, our bodies, minds, and souls, and makes us something new. This literal new essence, kicked off, inaugurated by the resurrection. It's a reality that is incubated within us, is then birthed by us and shared with the world in an act of supreme generosity. That is our job, our task. We share this new essence, this new reality, this resurrection spirit with everybody, frivolously with everybody, just like the sower in the gospel. and we make a new reality come to pass. Friends, this is as real as it gets. The time is now. There's no waiting. The time is now. We can make this kind of world and reality possible, and we do it by basing our lives after our frivolous God. Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil, brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some even 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Look, it's easy to get bogged down in the particularities of what happened to these seeds. Jesus paints a visual picture that takes root and grows up in our mind's eye. And, well, maybe, just maybe, it makes it easy to focus on the wrong thing. We see the birds eating the seeds that were on the path. We see the plant growing up through the thorns. Maybe we can even imagine ourselves feeling the sharpness of those thorns, feeling them choking out the life of those plants. But I want to take a step back from the soil to look at the sower. If this is indeed a metaphor for God, for how God has worked in the world and how God has spread love and peace in the world, then it is truly a wild one. Because what it tells us is that God is abundantly frivolous with grace. The sower grabs whole handfuls of seed and flings them across the earth every which way, up and down and left and right. There's nowhere that the sower will not cast these seeds of life. This, dear friends, is our God, a God of frivolous grace, constantly bombarding creation with love and grace and mercy and with opportunities to move from one state to another, to be melted down and remade into something more, to shift, to pass, to move from human to superhuman, frivolously spreading this grace. And yes, sometimes that grace doesn't grow up in the way it does in other places, but that doesn't matter. The frivolity of our God challenges us to be a frivolous people, to be frivolous with our grace and our mercy, to be frivolous with our goodness, to be frivolous with our love and resources, to be abundantly frivolous in a world of scarcity. There is a frivolity and a freedom that comes with the new being because we know what it's like to receive grace from this frivolous God, to receive mercy from a God who should have abandoned us a long time ago, but stuck it out because God will always see to the end what God has inaugurated. And what God has inaugurated through the resurrection, through baptism, through the long line of faithful Christians, and now through you, is nothing short of a holy revolution that turns the world upside down, tears out all the rot, and rebuilds it into something better. And our job? Our job, our blessed opportunity, the gift of service, our job as the superhumans of the gospel is to be ready for holy service, to spread this generosity and grace wherever we go, and to stand ready to tear down anything that gets in the way of building a better world. Amen.